Welcome to this week's episode of Relationships Rule. Today I'm bringing you an encore performance that I wanted to let you know that this is one of our most popular episodes from this past year, and for good reason. In this conversation, I'm joined by Vance Morris, a former Disney leader turned small business owner, who shares the magic behind creating extraordinary customer experiences. From the power of systems to the smallest personal touches, Vance reveals how unforgettable service builds long-lasting loyalty and something every business can benefit from. So whether you heard this the first time or this is your first listen, I know you'll walk away with fresh inspiration and actionable ideas. I hope you enjoy it. Let's dig in. Relationships rule. That's my motto. I'm Janice Porter, and I love to share the power of relationship marketing to help grow and impact business. I've grown my business by building and nurturing relationships, and I'd like to help you do the same. Welcome to the Relationships Rule podcast, where connection means everything. Hello, hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Relationships Rule. My guest today, I'm not even going to tell you his name yet. I'm just going to read this to you because I love this. Okay. He helps business owners get, serve, and keep clients for life through creating experiences and response-required marketing. He's a former birth control factory security guard turned Disney leader turned bankrupt out-of-work executive turned carpet cleaner turned successful entrepreneur. What a beautiful and interesting bio intro. So welcome to the show, Vance Morris.
Thank you, Janice. Thank you. You know, you can't make this stuff up.
I guess not.
Even if I tried, I couldn't. So,
well, let's dig into that for a little bit. So I know that you were a Disney employee for 10 years or so, but did the birth control factory security guard come first?
Oh, yeah, it does. That was actually my summer job when I was
summer
in college.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I figured. Okay. Yeah, but,
and then I won't tell you the game we invented.
And then when you were at Disney, which, of course, you did say, yes, some people do leave there. It is an experience, I'm sure, an environment all unto itself. But you worked specifically, I think, in the restaurant experience. Is that correct? Can you
yep,
give me
I
a
was,
little?
I worked in the resorts.
Okay, the resorts. Okay. And how many resorts did they have at that time?
Oh, good gracious.
Well, when you say the
At least
resorts,
10.
you mean like Disneyland, Disney World? Do you mean those?
Oh, no, I meant like Grand Floridian Contemporary Polynesian Resort, the actual hotels.
Okay, got it.
Where
Okay,
they
the
were.
resort hotels.
Yeah. When I got there, they were just opening up Disneyland Paris, which was one of their other parks. Yeah, I spent all of my time. I didn't work in the parks, which I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. But the resorts were enough for me. It really, you know, for me, for a first real job out of college. I mean, I had worked in a restaurant as a manager for a year and a half, but Disney was my foundation. And surprisingly, one of the first things I learned there was that they are a highly, highly systemized and process-oriented company. And that's really, to this day, that's what I use in my home service businesses that I still own to create those emotional connections with my customers, to create the emotional connections with my employees. But if it wasn't systemized, if there wasn't a process behind it, there's no way that we could consistently deliver the kind of experience and the kind of service that you know, Disney's known for and that people have come to expect.
So a couple of questions come to mind from that. And one is that I know that for you would be, I would think, a very fortunate experience to have that as your first major corporate thing. My daughter had an experience here where she worked during high school as a server at this local restaurant, but this restaurant was a chain, a Canadian chain, but had then moved into the States. And then she got, after that, when she was at university, she started to get into management training there. And every time she left to go do something else, they say, "You're welcome back anytime." And she got a really good, solid foundation of sales and of systems and all of that that's taken her through two businesses that she's owned and a company that she's now a VP with. So I get that. I think it's a very special experience. And Disney, of course, being one of the leaders in customer experience. The other question that it that or the, that was a comment. The question that comes to mind is, having worked at Disney, what's your take on, are you a TV watcher at all?
I have four kids, so the command of the remote control is very rarely in my possession.
Okay, well, but what you know, I'm sure, is that ABC is owned by Disney, and so are so many other companies now. Do you think that the Disney experience is going to come down through those different entities that they own now? Because I mean, there are the big, the big five conglomerates that own the world. Disney's one of them, right? Do you think that?
That is a great question, and I would like to think so. But it reminds me of I hosted my mastermind meeting at a Ritz-Carlton last month in Washington, D.C.
Nice.
And Ritz-Carlton is owned by the Marriott Corporation. And we asked the guy, the general manager came down to speak to our group, and we asked him, we were like, "You're the Ritz-Carlton. You're owned by Marriott. Why can't the rest of the Marriotts get
Yes.
their level of service up to
Yes.
yours?" And, a lot of it has to do with money. To stay at a Ritz-Carlton, you're looking $800 a night, for a Wednesday.
Yeah.
So you are paying for that experience. And I think the same thing is true at Disney, in that when you're in the parks and in the resorts, you are paying for the experience. And I don't think a lot of people associate the Disney company with ABC, ESPN,
Right.
and some of the other media that they're in. Certainly Disney Plus, which if you look
Yes.
at Disney Plus streaming and you compare it to ABC, I think there's just the entire look of that platform is very Disney-esque versus ABC. So,
I agree, but I have to say that so if I watch something on ABC and I guess I'm more observant than a lot of people, but I see how I'll give you a perfect example. Jeopardy. Okay. So Jeopardy's on every night and it is ABC, right?
I'm not sure. I'd have to ask my mom. I don't know. She
I'm
watches.
pretty, well, I'm pretty sure it is. But the point being that they have category on there usually every once in a while that they have live people do the questions.
Okay.
Okay. Last night they had the woman, a young woman who is starring in the new Moana movie. Okay. That's a Disney movie, right? They had the Wicked stars do one the other night, and that must be whatever, it's owned by Disney.
Oh,
So
that's a Disney production, yeah.
right. So those things, everything Disney gets pushed into wherever it can, there are other things. But I would hope that they're, from their staff perspective, from their working there perspective, they would also do those things. So that's why I asked that question. And I
You
just
would
think,
think, I mean, you
yippee.
really would think that that culture would kind of filter
Yes.
down at least somewhat.
Yes. Yeah. Because
But
now,
even Walt knew,
it's
though.
say that again.
I said, even Walt knew, though, that, obviously, when Walt was alive, they didn't own ABC,
Right.
but he was able to get his TV show, Wonderful World of Disney, on ABC. And he was literally the first infomercial that you ever saw, because yeah,
Okay.
sure, they'd have the skits and they'd have the cartoons and the stories and everything, But it was a big giant advertisement for Disneyland and, of course, the coming Disney World. And so they still use ABC for that. The Disney Christmas Parade, that's broadcast on ABC. So yeah, I think there's still some synergy, but I agree with you. I think that a little bit more could filter down.
So that being said, I know that you, like me, you're all about the, well, like me, I'm very customer experience. I notice that and I care about the customer experience, and I know that you do too. And so you say, build a relationship-centric business. And where's my note here? Just a minute. Okay. And so what I notice is that, we as business owners, generally speaking, I'm talking generally, that we're always looking for the new client, but we're never focused on the ones we already have and what magic we can, Disney term, what magic we can bring to them if we look after them. And you say that, you mentioned creating walk on burning coals loyalty like Disney. So what's the secret to cultivating such deep connections with clients or customers in your perspective?
Certainly. Well, I just did a course for my members, and so the number's fresh in my mind. 68% of customers leave a business because they are ignored. 68%. That is astounding. And if you could chip away at that 68%, I think we've talked before. The most expensive thing you can do with a customer is actually acquire them. There's a huge upfront cost to getting a new client or a new customer into your business. It is infinitely cheaper to retain the customer through nurturing, through, I mean, I tell, my coaching members and my clients all the time, is that it's not our customer's job to remember us. It's our job to remind the customer that we exist. And so I am a, and I know we've talked about, direct mail. I am a huge proponent of using the Postal Service. And I believe both in the US and Canada, we got about a 99% deliverability rate. So it's still pretty good. But you have to use things that are not always a sales tool or an offer, because if the only time your customers hear from you is when you want to sell them something, that's not a relationship. That's a, it's not symbiotic. I mean, it is you shoving stuff down their throat, buy my stuff, buy my stuff. And so I find that creating that engagement, creating that emotional connection, is where most businesses fail. I shamelessly use my children in my marketing.
Okay, tell me more.
My carpet cleaning clients have watched my kids grow up. My daughter, she's 17 now, but when she was 5, she did ballet. And so at the recital, took a picture of her, put it in my newsletter, and said, here's darling little Emma on her first, recital. And I did that every year. So every October, whatever it was, put a new picture of Emma. So my customers watched Emma grow up. And we had a woman accost, I'd say accost us, but approach us in a grocery store, didn't
Cost
even
us.
look at me, went right to my daughter and said, "Oh my God, Emma, how was your recital?"
I love
And
it.
I'm like, "Honey, let's go. We're hiding because this lady's nuts." And then I had to think, "Oh, wait, she must be one of my customers and gets our newsletter." And so when you make that emotional connection like that, that walk on burning coals connection, that woman is never leaving me until she dies or moves away.
I love that. It made me think actually of a cleaner I used to have, a housekeeper, that she was young and I wish she'd stayed with it because she was the best. But what she had kind of a Rosie the Riveter type logo kind of feel, old fashioned kind of feel. And every time she came to your house to clean, or one of her people came, they brought cookie dough and they baked like half a dozen cookies in your oven and left them on the counter. So you come home to that beautiful smell of the cookies. And I'm like, oh my God, that's amazing.
That's brilliant.
I know. And you
That's
could even
totally brilliant.
choose, you could choose from three or four types of cookies that you were your favorites. So,
Right.
yeah.
Well, when it comes to memories, sense or smell
Yeah.
is your number one sense.
Yeah.
And so, anytime I smell kielbasa, I think of my grandmother's kitchen because she made it by hand.
Oh, I love
So,
it.
that, and Disney uses odors and smells as well to evoke those same things because
Interesting.
they know that memories are attached to that sense.
Yeah, I there's so many stories that are positive and great stories around ways to put that personal touch in your marketing, ways to get your clients to differentiate you from the others for your clients. So in your experience, when you were designing Disney's Chef Mickey's dining experience back in the day, what did you learn about the importance of first impressions, and how can businesses apply that today to client relationships?
Yeah, so we worked very hard. So we actually had a mission, which is what every business should start with. Not a
Yeah.
mission statement, because most companies, if they have them, the employees don't know what the heck they are. Actually, most CEOs don't even know what it is. I'm sure Disney has one, and it's in a gold leaf binder on a
Sure.
pedestal and somewhere. But so we had a mission at Chef Mickey's, which was to get Mickey Mouse through 400 seats in 43 minutes and make it feel like it was a great time. Now, you ask the questions, okay,
Yeah.
well, why 400 seats? Well, that's how many seats we had in the dining room.
Yeah.
Why 43 minutes? Because that is the average time a table for two would dine in our restaurant. And if it took us longer to get the mouse through the dining room, well, the table for two sat longer. And
Yeah.
so now they're getting irritated because they haven't seen Mickey yet. There's people waiting for the table now, waiting longer. They're irritated because they haven't seen haven't gotten in for breakfast yet. So we had to design this system, and everybody had to have input into it.
Sure.
From the busboys to the entertainment department to the house, we even got the housekeepers involved. And to design a system, and like everybody chiseled away a little bit at the time. So like the busboys were able to, shave like 40 seconds off, and the housekeeping department saved us a lot of time. And so the first impression that people got when they visited us was that if they had a reservation, they didn't wait much more than 5 minutes before they got seated. Because, and that's a huge thing. I mean, at Disney, I mean, that's what you do. You wait for everything. And so, I mean, now if you didn't have a reservation, yes, you still had to wait, but there were restaurants at Disney, you got a reservation, you could wait 20, 30, 45 minutes before they got you
Oh,
in.
I hate that.
So yeah, exactly. I'm like, well, why bother, right? But so to us, that was very important, and which is one of the reasons it was ranked as the top character dining destination on the entire Disney property. That and we then we weren't tucked away in at the Contemporary, but we were at one end. So we moved a couple of our cast members towards the escalators and the elevators so that we could give direction. So oh yeah, Chef Mickey's right this way. And then we actually changed the check-in area to that spot because it gave us a little bit of a buffer between the line and coming into
Yeah.
the dining room. So we were able to separate that. But yeah, anything you can do to one, eliminate the perception of a wait. But you only get one chance at a first impression.
That's right.
And if
It's
you
split
don't,
second nowadays,
it
by the
is.
way. Yeah,
It's a split,
right?
it is a split
Yeah.
second. And I mean, the pressure that Disney employees are under, I mean, you'd think just about everybody who visits there, most of them have saved their entire lives to come to Disney.
Yes.
So they have huge expectations.
Yeah.
And so we have to meet, not only
Yeah.
meet, but exceed those expectations. And so each department had the authority to do what it needed to do to make sure that those first impressions, were the ones that the guests were expecting.
Okay, so let's now fast forward, and you're talking about you have, I think, three businesses that you still have, right? Carpet cleaning. Are they all carpet cleaning, or are they different
No,
services?
so I have in addition to that, I have a mold remediation company and a
Okay.
oriental rug washing facility.
All sexy kinds of businesses.
Oh, God, yeah.
Okay,
What I
so.
dreamed of doing when I was growing up.
Yeah, exactly. But these are perfect though, because they're service-based industries, and and I'm sure that you, first of all, you're dealing with the same kind of thing. People, there's, I can call, 14 carpet cleaners, but why would I call yours? So what do you do to get your staff on board with your, because it's going to be the Disney-like experience, I'm sure. Yeah.
Well, for one, we do a lot of role play, but
Oh, okay.
the number one thing, though, is everything is documented. So we have a script. So I took a lot of this from Disney.
Yeah,
So at
sure.
Disney, you have cast members who perform a role in the show, not employees working at a company. So the terminology is very important. So I scripted all of the different things that we had to do. So if you look at your customer journey and all
Yes.
of the different touch points where your company interacts with a customer, and you look at ways to create an experience out of all those boring, mundane things like answering the telephone or opening the door. And so I'll give you a quick example. So we've scripted how to get into the house. Okay, so if we can't get into the house, we can't do our cleaning. So it starts out in the street. So our technicians park in the street. They don't park in the driveway because, God forbid, we got an oil leak. Now we got something else to clean up. He gets out of the van and he's in a clean, crisp, new uniform because he carries extra uniforms in case he gets dirty on the job prior. He goes up to the front door. He's got a special mat, he's got a tool bag and a little gift. He lays the mat down and he knocks on the door. He doesn't ring the bell because salespeople ring the bell, friends knock, takes two steps back from the screen door. And this is long before COVID because the last thing you wanted was a 250-pound, 6-foot-tall Josh, nose to nose with 80-year-old Mrs. McGillicuddy. I mean, we would
Got
have
it.
just scared the crap out of her. So he takes his two steps back. Mrs. McGillicuddy opens the door, says, hi. Technician will say, hi, my name's Josh. I'm here to create your healthy home. May I come in? We don't just barge in, we ask. And then we do the performance. We exaggerate the wiping of our feet on the special mat that we laid down, and then we put booties on our clean shoes. When we get into the house, we give Mrs. McGillicuddy a gift. Now,
Oh my
when was the
goodness.
last time you had a home service person, pest control, TV repair, somebody give you a gift before they did any work?
Yeah,
I mean,
never.
never. So again, that separates us. Now the gift is nothing extravagant. So I mean, it's a custom blue box. Inside of it is a bottle of our spot remover, a nice bag of Entenmann's cookies, and a little note from me saying thank you for allowing us into your home. If you have any questions, here's my personal cell phone number.
Nice.
That is the script to get
Wow.
into the house.
And
Every
that's
one of my
systemized.
guys,
Everybody does that.
everybody does it. It is constant and consistent. And just go back to the gift real quick, because I jokingly say, Disney is a master at extracting money from your wallet and leaving you feel happy about it. And that's essentially what I show other businesses how to do. So when we give the gift, right, it starts a process called reciprocity. I give something to you feel compelled that you're going to have to give something back to me.
A
So when it
Google
comes time for
review,
our,
or
when we do our sales presentation, we saw a 26% increase in our mid-tier package, which equated to about $65,000-$70,000 in additional sales just by implementing that little gift.
that's a great tip, actually. That's absolutely, and it kind of, if I take that into my world, of LinkedIn training, it's really about. When we do outreach, and I use LinkedIn a lot to build new relationships and to meet new people, and it's really prospecting, as right. And so I want to be able to give first and give value to somebody, and that's exactly what you're talking about. So I always want to care and offer them something of value before I expect anything in return. So I think that's a great Great tip. So we talked a little bit about personal touch in marketing and direct response marketing. Like you've been around. I think you were probably, we talked about Dan Kennedy, right? I remember he was the guru of direct
Oh, yeah.
marketing in the day. And what today do you do to sort of, is it all front end marketing or is it back end thank you type stuff?
It's both.
Okay.
So a lot of my front for my consulting company and for my home service companies, a lot of my front end stuff, or customer attraction stuff
Yes.
is trying to find referral partners.
Yes. Okay.
So I will, so instead of mailing, 10,000 postcards to a neighborhood, I'm trying to find a real estate agent or a home inspector or
Yes.
somebody who can refer multiple times
Yes.
to me
I love
for the
that.
carpet cleaning business.
Yeah.
And one thing that works for me is we actually I send them coffee in the mail. So and they get a little postcard that says something effective, meetings, great meetings start with great coffee, and or great meetings are 100% more effective with great coffee. So they get this card and it comes in this nice envelope, and then I literally send them a pouch of coffee that's actually a little pour over, portable pour over thing. I know we're
Okay.
a podcast, but it kind of looks like this, so it's flat and I
Okay.
can mail it.
Yeah.
Delicious coffee. One of my clients, he's a coffee roaster.
Sure.
Amazing stuff. But that opens so many doors because who's sending oh, we should go out for coffee. Well, in the days of Zoom and nobody has time anymore. So now we can have a virtual cup. And
Yes.
I've done exactly what you said. I've
Yes.
given before I've asked
Yes.
for anything. So
Love it.
we got the cup of coffee. And then on the customer retention or the back end, my customers get at least 14 to 16 touches a
Yes.
year from us. They get a monthly newsletter from us in print, in the
Well,
mail.
if the one that I just read, my first one, is any example, it's hysterical. I love it. I love your sense of humor in it.
Well, thank you.
I didn't press the button because I wanted to wait. I wanted to talk to you and I want to see it tomorrow. That's why. But
Gotcha.
yeah, I wanted to just leave it fresh for now. And but yeah, that's a lot, but it takes that these days, doesn't it? It keeps you top of
It does.
mind. And
Yeah.
that's really important.
And you have to look at the ROI. I mean, I have a whole reminder system that I put in place, and they get an 8-month reminder, 9-month, 10-month,
Yeah.
up to 2 years. Because so many people give up, they send out, if you're a dentist or a carpet cleaner, okay, let's send out the 12-month. It's been a year. You should
Yeah,
probably come
yeah.
in and have your teeth cleaned.
I know.
No, you should be
Yeah.
sending something out at 9 months, 10 months, and
Yeah.
accelerating that revenue so that they come in sooner than 12 months. And now
Right.
you've accelerated the revenue. The other thing is lifting up the telephone. I
Oh,
mean,
I know.
a phone call to a prior client. Now, I don't recommend cold calling because that's just not nice. But to call a prior customer and say, "Hey, I was just thinking about you. I hope you have a great Thanksgiving." Goose, I
You
mean.
know, I actually had our cable company. Now they've merged now, so it's never going to happen again. But the cable company here, somebody actually called me out of the blue and just said, "Hey, we're just calling to say thank you for being a loyal customer all these years." I just about fell off the chair, right? But
Cable company? Yeah,
I
that's a
know. I know, but now they've merged with Rogers, which is a bigger company, so I don't think that's going to happen anymore. But those things, those things mean so much when in this crazy world. Okay, one last question around the customer experience, and that is around recovery. So I know that you have this recovery program that you talk about handling mistakes effectively, and that's, I think, a big piece that we have to be aware of. So, how can businesses turn a service failure into an opportunity to strengthen a client relationship?
Yeah, definitely. I think one of the first things is realizing the true cost of the mistake. I mean, okay, if it's a burnt steak in a restaurant, okay, well, it's a burnt steak, it's 10 minutes wasted. Let's get them a new meal, no charge, and we can buy them a round of drinks or bring over, a dessert or something. And usually that'll smooth things out. Now, however, if you had the cable company coming and they said they would be there between 8 and 12, and you waited and had to take half a day off of work, and then they didn't show up until 4, now your boss is upset because you didn't come into work, you took an entire vacation day, there's now a greater cost to you that the company is not, one, doesn't really seem to care about. But you have to understand the total value of the problem. I mean, if you have inconvenienced somebody to the point where they've got a, if it's an automobile and the mechanic didn't fix it right the first time, okay, well, now I got to go take another day off. I got to get a rental car, blah, 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 all that. And they're like, sorry, we'll fix it again, but we're not paying for any of that other stuff. So knowing that true cost gives you the frame of mind to, okay, what do I have to do? To what point do I have to go to save this customer from defecting? And or rescuing them and bringing them back after they have left. A lot of it is giving your frontline employees the authority to fix the problem.
Yes, that's
Ritz-Carlton.
great.
Ritz-Carlton, $2,000. Every employee can spend up to $2,000, no questions asked, to take care of a guest problem. I'm not advocating that because that's a lot of money, but gee whiz, could you give them 50 or 100 bucks, in leeway, and that you're not going to yell at them for spending? It's just it have because when a problem goes longer, it gets worse. So if an employee can nip it in the bud, fix it, and the customer's happy because they fixed it right away, time is your friend. But when you say, oh, I got to go get a manager,
I
oh,
know.
I got to go find somebody, oh, I got to get permission, now time is elapsing and time is no longer your friend because I just get more irritated and irritated
So do
and irritated
I. Yeah, so do
until
I.
the problem is solved. And
Yeah.
it's going to cost you more once it gets to a certain point, because you didn't have the ability to solve it, or you didn't give the authority to your employees to solve it immediately. Like my guys, if we are going back to do a reservice, so say either one of my guys missed something, or a lot of times a spot will come back after we've cleaned when the carpet dries. We get it. My technician knows that he's supposed to go to the local grocery store, buy a nice small bouquet or flower pot, and bring it back to the customer's house. Now, we do that because, one, well, we're inconveniencing the customer because we've had to come back. Two, nobody else is doing that. And honestly, if you saw a 26-year-old, guy standing there with flowers to come fix a little spot in your carpet, I mean, they just melt. I mean, they're just like, oh my God, all right, come on in. Can I get you something to drink? Okay, the spot's over here. But you got to give your employees that authority and that latitude to stuff. I mean, you got to give them the guardrails. I mean, you don't want them, buying a whole florist shop of roses,
No.
but
Use
at
your
the same
discretion.
time, don't go buy plastic. So
Well, it's
give them the
funny.
guardrails.
I shouldn't really talk about this because I don't know if it's happening where you live, but we have this whole eco thing that goes on all the time, and so you can't get bags in stores anymore. Not even just grocery stores, but I mean like retail stores. So, but you can get a bag, but it's going to cost you. And it could cost you anywhere from 25 cents to $3 or whatever for a bag.
Gee
Depends if it's
whiz.
a can if it's a nicer bag or whatever.
Oh, sure.
But I go to a store like Athleta, which is owned by Gap. Like there's three, four levels of Gap, Old Navy, Gap, Athleta, and Banana Republic. You go in and I spend $350, and then they say, "Would you like a bag that they're going to charge me $200, $2 for?" I'm insulted, but they're telling me that it's a law now, and I don't know if it's a law. It might be discretionary when you spend a few hundred dollars that maybe you could cover that. I don't know, but it drives me crazy. I understand at the grocery store when I have to remember my bags from the car, but there's just some things that I really find annoying. So anyway, I'm a
The funny
customer
thing was
service
is that the bags
person.
were free before the laws
I
said that
know.
you can't use this. I mean, I always got paper because I use it to, I use it to start fires. I recycle my newspaper in the paper bag, and I get it. And then next Monday, what? I got five paper bags. Oh, that's, an additional 50 cents. I'm like, what?
I know. Crazy.
So, yeah.
So anyway, it's just different things for different reasons, I guess, but love this conversation. I love talking about the customer experience, and you've got some great ideas and systems around making it a wow experience, whoever the company is. And I can see that you work with small business owners, you work with larger companies as well, right? Now, and through your mastermind.
I tend to gravitate to the entrepreneurs and the smaller companies. I have some street cred with them because I own three small businesses as well. But yeah, I mean, if you're serving customers either in their home or in your office, I can probably help.
So, one last piece of business advice for my small business owners and entrepreneurs.
Well, I'm not much for sayings, but I only have one, and that is you won't profit unless you implement. So pick something that you heard today, whether it's this podcast, something else you heard, but pick something and go and implement it. You got to do something to affect any change in your business. So otherwise, this has just been a great 38 minutes of Janice and Vance bantering, or are you going to take something because there were some really good solid things you could go implement tomorrow if you wanted to. So find something and implement it.
Perfect. So appreciate you being here, Vance. Really enjoyed our conversation. I encourage my audience to go and search you out, and where can they find you? And I will put it in the show notes. Is it
Sure. Best place is my website, which is deliverservicenow.com. You
perfect?
can actually get a free download of my book, the PDF, but so if you want to grab it, you don't
Okay.
want to send Jeff Bezos any more money and order. I mean, you can get it on Amazon if you want,
Yeah.
but
Okay.
you can
Okay.
get a
Fair
free.
enough. And your book, the one, Systematic Magic. Perfect.
Yes.
I do encourage people to do that. And thank you for being here. Thank you to my audience, as always, for being here. And remember to stay connected and be remembered. Thanks for joining us. If today's show inspired you to make a new connection, why not start with me? Head over to LinkedIn and connect with me. Be sure to let me know you are a podcast listener because I select one listener each month who connects with me on LinkedIn for a complimentary profile audit. And you know I love to meet new people, so I hope you take me up on it. Don't forget to stay connected and be remembered.